The leg was sighted first, but the actual body was discovered at 7:35 on Friday, the 12th of December, 2014. A veiled midsummer sun, hanging low behind clouds in a faded sky, sucked up the parched remnants of the day. In the small northern town of Palmerston and the rural community of Acacia Glen, residents were worried. While trying to keep cool and ramping up their air conditioners, most of them were listening to the radio and television bushfire alerts. The fires had flared up again and were now only a few kilometres away. Nearly every household had packed their possessions into grab-and-go bags in anticipation of leaving in a hurry. Some residents had already left. While everyone in the state was sweating and cursing the effects of climate change, the body was slowly cooling. It lay close to one of the swampy pools, half hidden by long, thin strands of grey lamandra and other assorted reeds and sallow-green grasses. Sparse, flaky baked gum trees created patches of shade over the swamp, effectively hiding the body from anyone using the nearby cycle path. One of the body's legs was visible on the train line side of the pools. It hung at an awkward angle over a fallen log. The shoeless foot appeared to rise out of the scrub and point directly at the train track. At 7 p.m, Karen Clark, a general dockhand at Port Melbourne, had finished a shift and was on the 6:20 train from the city to her home in Palmerston and was very pleased to be sitting down. She had her nose pressed to the window, looking out from a seat on the left side of the train. Even though she'd seen the same trees and shrubs a thousand times, she still gazed out at the passing scenery, but wasn't concentrating. She was daydreaming, wishing that her parents could afford a swimming pool and hoping her dad hadn't nicked her cold beer from the fridge. Approaching Yarra Green Station, the train slowed a little as it crossed a small wooden bridge over the creek, and she wasn't surprised to see no water was flowing. Suddenly she jerked back. At first she thought she'd glimpsed a snake's head silhouetted against a log half submerged in one of the ponds. A king brown, she reckoned, by the dark colour on its head and its thick length. It was upright, as if ready to strike. She looked again, thinking the light was playing tricks on her eyes. Or perhaps it was imagination. Her mother was always banging on her about being overactive. The image disappeared behind her. "Did you see that?" The words burst out of her mouth. The high school student sitting next to her didn't move. Two thin cords dangled from his ears. She grabbed his arm and pointed out the window. "Bloody huge snake!" Shrugging off a hand, he took his time removing his earphones one by one before he looked out the window. It was too late, and he glared at her. Karen sighed and shivered, convincing herself that what she had seen was probably an awkwardly shaped branch. But just in case it wasn't, she resolved to read a book on the train in future and to go back and live in the city if that was how large snakes grew nowadays. She changed seats. The body cooled down further, helped by a wind blast of the train. A gentle evening breeze nestled around the swamp, caressing the tips of the undergrowth, and the sky slowly retreated into the wide Australian darkness.